Good day to you all, and welcome to this 11th day of April. It is day 101 in our journey through the Bible. Hello out there to everyone. My name is Heather. I'm Hunter's wife. I'm here with you on Sundays at the Daily Radio Bible. We are about to do what we do every day. We're about to spend some time in God's Word and let His Word spend some time on us. Today's readings are found in 1 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, 1 Chronicles 1, and then finishing up in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So let's jump right in. 1 Samuel 11. About a month later, King Nahash of Ammon led his army against the Israelite town of Jabesh-Gilead. But all the citizens of Jabesh asked for peace. "Make a treaty with us, and we will be your servants," they pleaded. "All right," Nahash said, "but only on one condition. I will gouge out the right eye of every one of you as a disgrace to all Israel." "Give us 7 days to send messengers throughout Israel," replied the elders of Jabesh. "If no one comes to save us, we will agree to your terms." When the messengers came to Gibeah of Saul and told the people about their plight, everyone broke into tears. Saul had been plowing a field with his oxen, and when he returned to town, he asked, "What's the matter? Why is everyone crying?" So they told him about the message from Jabesh. Then the Spirit of God came powerfully upon Saul, and he became very angry. He took two oxen and cut them into pieces and sent the messengers to carry them throughout Israel with this message: "This is what will happen to the oxen of anyone who refuses to follow Saul and Samuel into battle." And the Lord made the people afraid of Saul's anger, and all of them came out together as one. When Saul mobilized them at Bezek, he found that there were 300,000 men from Israel and 30,000 men from Judah. So Saul sent the messengers back to Jabesh-Gilead to say, "We will rescue you by noontime tomorrow." There was great joy throughout the town when that message arrived. The men of Jabesh then told their enemies, "Tomorrow we will come out to you, and you can do to us whatever you wish." But before dawn the next morning, Saul arrived, having divided his army into three detachments. He launched a surprise attack against the Ammonites and slaughtered them the whole morning. The remnant of their army was so badly scattered that no two of them were left together. Then the people exclaimed to Samuel, "Now where are those men who said, 'Why should Saul rule over us? Bring them here and we will kill them'?" But Saul replied, "No one will be executed today, for today the Lord has rescued Israel." Then Samuel said to the people, "Come, let us all go to Gilgal to renew the kingdom." So they all went to Gilgal. In a solemn ceremony before the Lord, they made Saul king. Then they offered peace offerings to the Lord, and Saul and all the Israelites were filled with joy. Then Samuel addressed all Israel, "I have done as you asked and given you a king. Your king is now your leader. I stand here before you, an old, gray-haired man, and my sons serve you. I have served as your leader from the time I was a boy to this very day. Now testify against me in the presence of the Lord and before his anointed one. Whose ox or donkey have I stolen? Have I ever cheated any of you? Have I ever oppressed you? Have I ever taken a bribe and perverted justice? Tell me, and I will make right whatever I have done wrong." "No," they replied, "you have never cheated or oppressed us, and you have never taken even a single bribe." "The Lord and his anointed one are my witnesses today," Samuel declared, "that my hands are clean." "Yes, he is a witness," they replied. "It was the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron," Samuel continued. "He brought your ancestors out of the land of Egypt. Now stand here quietly before the Lord as I remind you of all the great things the Lord has done for you and your ancestors. When the Israelites were in Egypt and cried out to the Lord, he sent Moses and Aaron to rescue them from Egypt and to bring them into this land. But the people soon forgot about the Lord their God, so he handed them over to Sisera, the commander of Hazor's army, and also to the Philistines and to the king of Moab, who fought against them. Then they cried to the Lord again and confessed, 'We have sinned by turning away from the Lord and worshiping the images of Baal and Ashtoreth. But we will worship you and you alone if you will rescue us from our enemies.' Then the Lord sent Gideon, Bedan, Jephthah, and Samuel to save you, and you lived in safety. But when you were afraid of Nahash, the king of Ammon, you came to me and said that you wanted a king to reign over you, even though the Lord your God was already your king. All right, here is the king you have chosen. You asked for him, and the Lord has granted your request. Now, if you fear and worship the Lord and listen to his voice, and if you do not rebel against the Lord's commands, then both you and your king will show that you recognize the Lord as your God. But if you rebel against the Lord's commands and refuse to listen to him, then his hand will be as heavy upon you as it was upon your ancestors. Now stand here and see the great thing the Lord is about to do. You know that it does not rain at this time of the year during the wheat harvest. I will ask the Lord to send thunder and rain today. Then you will realize how wicked you have been in asking the Lord for a king. So Samuel called to the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people were terrified of the Lord and of Samuel. Pray to the Lord your God for us, or we will die, they all said to Samuel, for now we have added to our sins by asking for a king. Don't be afraid, Samuel reassured them. You have certainly done wrong, but make sure now that you worship the Lord with all your heart and don't turn your back on him. Don't go back to worshiping worthless idols that cannot help or rescue you. They are totally useless. The Lord will not abandon his people, because that would dishonor his great name, for it has pleased the Lord to make you his very own people. As for me, I will certainly not sin against the Lord by ending my prayers for you, and I will continue to teach you what is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and faithfully serve him. Think of all the wonderful things he has done for you. But if you continue to sin, you and your king will be swept away. 1 Chronicles 1. The descendants of Adam were Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. The sons of Noah were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The descendants of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshech, and Tiras. The descendants of Gomer were Ashkenaz, Riphath, and Togarma. The descendants of Javan were Elisha, Tarshish, Kittim, and Rodanim. The descendants of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The descendants of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Rama, and Sabteca. The descendants of Rama were Sheba and Dedan. Cush was also the ancestor of Nimrod, who was the first heroic warrior on earth. Mizraim was the ancestor of the Ludites, Anamites, Lehabites, Naphtathites, Pathrusites, Cashlahites, and the Captorites, from whom the Philistines came. Canaan's oldest son was Sidon, the ancestor of the Sidonians. Canaan was also the ancestor of the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Girgashites, Hivites, Arkites, Sinites, Arvadites, Zimmerites, and Hamathites. The descendants of Shem were Elam, Ashur, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The descendants of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gither, and Mash. Arphaxad was the father of Shelah. Shelah was the father of Eber. Eber had two sons. The first was named Peleg, which means division, for during his lifetime the people of the world were divided into different language groups. His brother's name was Joktan. Joktan was the ancestor of Almodad, Shelef, Hazarmaveth, Jerah, Hardoram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Ibamel, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were descendants of Joktan. So this is the family line descended from Shem: Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, and Abram, later known as Abraham. The sons of Abraham were Isaac and Ishmael. These are their genealogical records. The sons of Ishmael were Nebaioth, the oldest, Kedar, Abdil, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Massa, Hadad, Tima, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedima. These were the sons of Ishmael. The sons of Keturah, Abraham's concubine, were Zimran, Jokshan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shuah. The sons of Jokshan were Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Elda. All these were descendants of Abraham through his concubine Keturah. Abraham was the father of Isaac. The sons of Isaac were Esau and Israel. The sons of Esau were Eliphaz, Reuel, Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. The descendants of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zephu, Gatam, Kenaz, and Amalek, who was born to Timnah. The descendants of Reuel were Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. The descendants of Seir were Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Anna, Dishon, Ezer, and Dishan. The descendants of Lotan were Hori and Hemam. Lotan's sister was named Timnah. The descendants of Shobal were Alvan, Manath, Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. The descendants of Zibeon were Ea and Ana. The son of Ana was Dishon. The descendants of Dishon were Himdan, Eshban, Ithran, and Keran. The descendants of Ezer were Bilhan, Zavan, and Akan. The descendants of Dishan were Uz and Aran. These are the kings who ruled in the land of Edom before any king ruled over the Israelites. Bela, son of Beor, who ruled from his city of Dinaba. When Bela died, Jobab, son of Zerah, from Bozrah, became king in his place. When Jobab died, Husham, from the land of the Temanites, became king in his place. When Husham died, Hadad, son of Bedad, became king in his place and ruled from the city of Avith. He was the one who destroyed the Midianite army in the land of Moab. When Hadad died, Samia from the city of Maskarah became king in his place. When Samla died, Shaul from the city of Rehoboth on the river became king in his place. When Shaul died, Baal-Hanan, son of Ekbor, became king in his place. When Baal-Hanan died, Hadad became king in his place and ruled from the city of Peo. His wife was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred and granddaughter of Me-Zahab. Then Hadad died. The clan leaders of Edom were Timnah, Alva, Jetheth, Oholibama, Elah, Pinon, Kenaz, Timan, Mibzar, Magdiel, and Aram. These are the clan leaders of Edom. 2 Corinthians 11. I hope you will put up with a little more of my foolishness. Please bear with me, for I am jealous for you, with the jealousy of God himself. I promised you as a pure bride to one husband, Christ. But I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupted, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. But I don't consider myself inferior in any way to these super apostles who teach such things. I may be unskilled as a speaker, but I'm not lacking in knowledge. We have made this clear to you in every possible way. Was I wrong when I humbled myself and honored you by preaching God's good news to you without expecting anything in return? I robbed other churches by accepting their contributions so I could serve you at no cost. And when I was with you and didn't have enough to live on, I did not become a financial burden to anyone. For the brothers who came from Macedonia brought me all that I needed. I have never been a burden to you, and I never will be. As surely as the truth of Christ is in me, no one in all of Greece will ever stop me from boasting about this. Why? Because I don't love you? God knows that I do. But I will continue doing what I have always done. This will undercut those who are looking for an opportunity to boast that their work is just like ours. These people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But I am not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. Again, I say, don't think that I am a fool to talk like this. But even if you do, listen to me, as you would to a foolish person, while I also boast a little. Such boasting is not from the Lord, but I am acting like a fool. And since others boast about their human achievements, I will too. After all, you think you are so wise, but you enjoy putting up with fools. You put up with it when someone enslaves you, takes everything you have, takes advantage of you, takes control of everything, and slaps you in the face. I'm ashamed to say that we've been too weak to do that. But whatever they dare to boast about, I'm talking like a fool again. I dare to boast about it too. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I have worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and a day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced danger from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. I have worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. I have been hungry and thirsty, and have often gone without food. I have shivered in the cold without enough clothing to keep me warm. Then, besides all this, I have the daily burden of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my feeling that weakness? Who is led astray, and I do not burn with anger? If I must boast, I would rather boast about the things that show how weak I am. God, the Father of our Lord Jesus, who is worthy of eternal praise, knows I am not lying. When I was in Damascus, the governor under King Aretas kept guards at the city gates to catch me. I had to be lowered in a basket through a window in the city wall to escape from him. It's an upside-down world. Paul is being lowered in a basket through a hole in the wall outside of the city. As he's being lowered, God is lifting. He's lifting him up into the man that he created him to be. We've been invited into an upside-down world. It's a world where those who are lowered down are being lifted up, while those who lift themselves up are being lowered from within. Paul very briefly talks about his elevated days when he was lifting himself up. He reminds his readers that he was elevated too, just like those super apostles. He was an elevated Israelite, an elevated son of Abraham. But Paul wants them to know that this elevated status did nothing for his soul. He was descending from within, even while on the outside his status was lifting him up in the eyes of others. Paul teaches us that it was while he was being lowered on the outside, descending on the outside, accused, scorned, whipped, stoned, shipwrecked, hungry, alone on the outside, even while being lowered in a basket. It's at these many moments of lowering that God showed himself most present in his life. It was there that Paul knew God's strength most. He experienced God's love most intimately when he was being lowered in that basket outside of the city. It was a defining moment for Paul. God does his deepest work in the lowering, and anyone, super apostle or not, who tells us otherwise should be avoided. See God in the lowering. Experience fellowship with him there. Allow his spirit to build and lift you up, even as you are being lowered. He is faithful to bring about his good purposes in all of our circumstances. DailyRadioBible.com, that's our home base out here on the interwebs, where you are always welcome to stop on by. We have spent another Sunday here together, and we are so grateful for that. Hunter will be back with you again tomorrow morning. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe to this podcast if it's something that you enjoy and would like others to enjoy as well. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, and you can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Again, thank you for being here today with us. Now, until tomorrow, let's go forward. Let the joy of the Lord be your strength, and remember this, you are loved.